going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Support. So that was a little bittersweet, man, because she worked as hard just as me to get to this moment.
Good afternoon, everybody. How we feeling? The Steelers have found their possible Cam Hayward replacement and a guy who is going to play right away, because something tells me they're not going to give Isaiah Loudermilk that job. Derek Harmon started at Michigan State, grew up on Nine Mile Road in Detroit, became a Spartan, a Duck, and now a Steeler. Roger Goodell there, and then Harmon talking about his relationship with his mom, which we'll dive into a little bit more today. Mulsey's across from me. Donnie's here. Telephone number to join us and talk about it is 412-928-9370. I was prepared when I woke up this morning to say certain things about this pick, and now I'm not going to do it. I'm flipping the script. I was ready to play the role that I was basically born to play on this radio station.
Contrarian who makes everyone mad?
Devil's advocate.
Okay. Actually, I get accused of being the contrarian, so that's a tough thing for a devil's advocate and a contrarian to work together.
Ratings seem to reflect people's...
Fair point.
...desire to listen to that, even Fair though we point. Don't have sponsors bringing us in cookies like evidently the Midday Show.
Yeah, what was going on with Bechtold? He's got cookies from sponsors for him personally, people who sponsor his segment. We need to have maybe that kind of relationship start forming.
Austin made it sound like if we talk more Rutger McGroarty, maybe the guy would come in and give us cookies, but maybe that's a topic for another day. It is a topic for
we
another day.
We probably talk more Rutger Hauer than Rutger McGroarty.
So, yeah, I was going to come in and speak maybe to the downside of this pick, but I feel like that's already been done.
You feel like Starkey stole a lot of thunder.
I've listened to the radio station for just about 8 hours today, and Crowley came on and said he would have taken Shedeur Sanders, and Joe came on and said he would have rather taken Jackson Dart. And so people have heard a lot of this was not a great pick. Now, I think both of you guys feel like it's a great pick, right? Like, do I have it wrong? Does anybody want to put any kind of buyer beware or caveat?
I just think it's a rock solid pick. I'll get a lot more into my leg.
Rock solid is like a B plus. Rock solid is
I'm on B plus, A minus territory with this.
Okay. How about you, Don? Are you in this is a great thing? This
A
is
minus.
A minus.
And it has a little bit of a curve because I've had this guy going to the Steelers for a few weeks now.
Yeah, Donnie and I get to
crow. Stuck to those guns, baby.
Donnie and I get to crow that we ultimately had Harmon as the pick here.
Well, why are you not including me in that?
Didn't you say yesterday you still thought they were going to take Sanders?
No, I tweeted out my prediction before the draft started and said Derek Harmon, and then...
Well, congratulations. Remember, you can come in. The water's fine.
Remember that clear favorite tweet that I sent that I was all mad that the radio station
didn't... Yeah, they did not promote that nearly
promote
enough.
Promote it, and if they had, they would have made me look good, and the radio station would have looked better.
Yeah, so, I think there's ample cause for you to believe that they want you to look bad.
I'm sure if I had put out some zany prediction, that would have gone up on our website, and then people would be like, every time I post on Twitter, throwing it back in my face. I was not expecting the radio station to have the tone of the Steelers are going to regret this because they passed on the quarterbacks. Yeah.
Starkey, to his credit, put his neck out there in print too and just wrote, like, the Steelers will regret passing on Dart, who went 4 picks later. I just disagree with that. You know what this pick, I'll give you my, I'll start us off here with this. This just feels like the kind of pick, and there's some caveats, so I'll explain. It feels like the kind of pick that they made often earlier in this century, like the first half of this century. We're 25 or 24 plus years in. Just a solid pick, a player that I expect maybe to not be a star or a superstar, but a really good player for them for two contracts. That's like my base level expectation here. Very good player who plays
only one of their last 10 first round picks.
That's why
have
I said
the second contract.
That is why I said the first half of this century.
Yeah.
Okay. So first half of the century, Casey Hampton, Ben Roethlisberger, Heath Miller. You have Troy Polamalu in there. You have Lawrence Timmons. You have Woodley, who was good for, I would say, a contract and a half. You have a lot of, now Woodley was a second round pick, but point is, they made a lot of picks in that chunk of time back when it was Colbert and Cowher, and then early Colbert and Tomlin, where I just felt like rock solid player coming to the Steelers, safe pick. Crowley said B for boring. He clearly meant it derisively. I would say B for boring, and I mean it in a complimentary way.
Well, he's scared now about this medical thing. He came on and broke news and said it's a labrum issue that's going to need surgery.
Partial labrum. Well, no. I think people dispute whether it needs surgery.
Oh, so now you're calling out Crowley's
sourcing?
We're
having a guest come on later who, not even in a half hour from now.
Operation Shutdown, Derek Bell.
Yeah, who disputes, I think, whether this necessarily would need surgery, or maybe I misread his tweet, but...
So he's going on the offensive here with Crowley, and
it just says partial rotator cuff and then a labrum, partial tear or whatever.
So do we have damaged goods or not? Bottom line,
let me give you an imperfection.
So we got a little deal on him because there's something that's not quite right about him that needs to get fixed.
No, because the presumption, I guess, about him was that he might slide a couple of spots because of this shoulder stuff, but that it wasn't the kind of injury that would drop him off the first round
board. And that's what I've heard from people, so I'm not panicking, but when I heard Adam say it this morning, and then Faribault followed up by saying a few teams took him off their board, I got very nervous. And just to finish the point, that's why I'm not taking this tact. But before I followed up with people, I was going to say that if that's true, Harmon is actually a bigger risk than Sanders. Because if the injury is such a big concern that he was taken off boards completely, that's worse than a player just falling out of the first round. That's some team saying he's undraftable. No one has confirmed that or said that to me. Everyone has poo-pooed and downplayed this. That it's something that needs to get cleaned up at the end of the season. But there is a small part of me that's like, I don't like starting off with someone being less than 100%.
It just doesn't bother me right now. And it's something that it's whatever the risk degree is.
In fairness, would it have bothered you if they had taken a player at a different position? Like if you found out they took a running back, and the first thing you found out about O'Marrion Hampton was that he needed to have labrum surgery,
It would have bothered me way more that they had taken a running back than they had taken one who required surgery.
Okay, so you would not have taken that hole and ran through it if you saw, I can also slander this pick for the injury.
No, I would not have done that. Okay. I would have said, I hate the positional value that they decided to opt for. I just think he's the kind of player that they took off in the first 10 to 12 years or thereabouts. Like maybe the line of demarcation for me is DeCastro is the end point, where it's just a really, I think, going to be a good to potentially very good NFL player, which is, I think, what you would hope for in the latter stages of the first round. You don't, you know, if you're picking number two overall, you hope you're drafting a future All-Pro and maybe a Hall of Famer. So I think it's a boring and good pick. I give it like an A-. The injury maybe dings it from an A. It's the guy I wanted them to draft. It also, a couple other things. To me, it's a big boy, grown-up approach here. We know Andy Weidel comes from Philly, where they have built through the trenches. They are trying to continue to do that. I like what it signifies in that sense. It either means, too, that the fact that they passed on Shedeur Sanders specifically, that was a smokescreen and Tomlin wasn't that interested in him, or if he actually was, that other people in the room talked him down off of that and said, no, we're going to make the sober, smart pick here.
That's the picture NFL Network painted. Rap Sheet made it sound like Wednesday was spent debating this.
Well, then either scenario is good. Then either scenario to me is good, because then if it's what Rap Sheet said happened, then other people won out over Mike.
Well, doesn't that make sense? I mean, who was the person in the room other than Mike that would have wanted Sanders that they needed to talk off that
Maybe
spot?
If it was Art, they wouldn't have won. If it was a 2 or 3-on-1 battle, then I
would think... And I can't picture that it's Omar and Andy that are arguing for...
No.
I would bet every dollar in my bank account that it wasn't Andy who was arguing
I would
for
agree
Sanders.
With that.
So that makes me think, if Rappaport's reporting is accurate,
it makes me think Mike was in
been,
a,
then it would have been Mike who was still trying to talk everybody into
shitter.
And you
know what? If that talk failed, which it did obviously, then good. Because that suggests that there's like an actual healthy give and take, and that he's not just stomping all over everyone else in that room.
Well, there's
getting
a give and take in this very specific situation, because Harmon is the type of player that Rooney has wanted the entire time.
I mean,
you know?
This is 2 out of 3 years, if you believe what I was saying, and I think you heard similar stuff.
About
that
Broderick Jones?
They moved him off of Porter at 17 to trade up to get Jones, and then said, guess what? He's going to be there at 32.
Well, this is going to beg the question for later in the show. What if Sanders is still there in the third round for them?
Completely different calculus for me, and I'll tell you why later, because it's for later in the show. I will just say this. The only difference between this and what I'm saying about why I like it, because it's like a safe, boring, smart, like sober pick, the only difference between this and like what happened between 04 and 2012 is they don't have the franchise quarterback, but they didn't, and that would change some people's perspectives, they didn't reach in a soft class at that position, which I think is just a sign that the adults are in the room running things.
One of the reasons why I'm not really in the mood to play devil's advocate is because I want to root for this kid just based on all the trials and tribulations that he described regarding his mom and the fact that she was on life support. I'm literally crying listening to this guy talk last night and then replaying the ESPN story about his mom because it's actually that moving. Like, it's just the relationship there is something that I can't help myself as a human being wanting this person to be really good at his job and wanting to root for him to play well on Sundays, because he now is a great person who plays for my favorite team. Okay, so there's that part, that bias that I am openly acknowledging here. But I would just disagree with you on just one fine point. I don't think safe and boring are the same thing. I think it's boring because it's a defensive lineman. I'm not sure it's safe. I'm not sure he's a slam dunk player to be that good. He might be. It's. I guess you could maybe argue it's safe in that the team that just won the Super Bowl devised a plan and put together a team that won with these types of players by just having really good defensive linemen in waves that bullied the best team in the NFL that had won the last two Super Bowls in the Super Bowl and blew them out. But he did only have one good year in college, and people debate how good that season was.
I think that part comes down to, like, what do you value when it comes to pressures versus actual sacks and TFLs,
right, but
and stuff?
It's not like so... You know, Aaron Donald did not go 21st. He fell out of the top 10, but he did not slip that far.
13th.
Thank you. Every Aaron Donald season was great.
Well, Aaron Donald season got better and better and better.
And this guy got better, insane. So you could say that's good. I mean, he's moving up. There's a trajectory. But if he had just left Michigan State after his final year there, he might not have been drafted. He had one season that put him on the map with NFL draft people. So I think that inherently doesn't make a guy safe.
Okay, but I would counter that with, it's fair, and you can, and anytime you have a one season guy, there are questions, and there are plenty of examples on either side. So I'm not going to call out Joe Burrow as a quarterback, because you could call out another guy who was a one season guy who stunk.
Kenny Pickett.
I'm glad you said it. What I would say is, everything I read about that switch over to Oregon, and this goes back to even another, I think maybe the most emotional part of that story about his mom, is when his mom said to him, you've done all these things for me, you've made all these life decisions for me, when he was thinking about going to Oregon, it's time you make one for you.
Yeah.
Everything I've read
about... Even though he then took that NIL money and helped her out, so even when she gave him he still did something incredible for her.
A-plus human being here. Yeah. Everything I've read about schematically, what clicked for him was that he went to a 3-4 there that was more like what he's going to play here, and that unlocked some stuff. Like, you know as well as I do, we both watch a ton of football. You get certain players in certain schemes, you might have a very different guy than you would otherwise.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Biggest NIL purchase. Or at least the first one.
I bought my mom a car.
What'd you get her?
She had a stroke my freshman year. Give a fuck sophomore year. So I was able to get like a van accessible.
Derek Harmon at the Rose Bowl before Oregon's loss to Ohio State talking about what he did with his NIL money, and he bought his mother a handicap accessible van because she did have a stroke his freshman year. We had talked about that. I think she didn't have feeling the whole left side of her body. And she was on life support last night as Derek Harmon was getting picked. That's why he was so emotional when ESPN and NFL Network showed him at his draft party because she wasn't there. So sounds like a salt of the earth kid. Character 10 out of 10. I don't think we have to worry about this guy turning into a George Pickens or an Antonio Brown or anything like that. So that's a plus that we now have a guy coming here who's got a good head on his shoulders. Shoulder being the operative word because there's labrum issues. But I was just talking to a former NFL doctor during the break, and he called it a yellow flag, was the word the terminology he used. He expects that Harmon will get through the season and play with it, and that he thinks it might affect like his weightlifting and training a little bit. He brought up a guy who's in the Hall of Fame who played an entire season with a torn rotator cuff and wasn't all pro. So he doesn't think that it's a huge deal. He did say, though, that if, and teams knew this, if Harmon were to have surgery on his shoulder right now, he'd miss 4 to 6 months.
So not of the season, just the immediate recovery time right this second is 4 to 6 months. Like, yes. It wouldn't drag 4 to 6 and wipe out a whole year. Okay.
And it'd wipe out some.
No, I mean, I'm saying if it was like 4 to 6 months of the season, you might as well just say he's out for a whole season. I just wanted to clarify that. Yeah, rotator cuff surgery in any sport for any athlete is no joke. Obviously, it's a major recovery. Like, I think anyone, I know friends who have had it just as regular average Joes, and you know, basically you're never quite the same if you're not a pro athlete getting it done. Yellow flag to me, though, is not, it's a far cry from red flag. Red flag.
He said he hasn't seen the guy's full medical reports, but just based on what he's heard and what he knows, he, as a former team doctor, would not have told Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin and Art Rooney to take him off the draft board.
So he would have said keep him on the board.
Yeah, he would have said keep him.
I wonder what was Fautanu last year? Was that a yellow flag too, probably?
I talked to this same doctor about Fautanu last year, and he gave me almost like a very similar...
So similar risk level, basically, is what I'm getting at here.
Small one.
Yeah, I mean, Fautanu's, I didn't connect his injury last year that cost him the year to any of the stuff coming out about him beforehand, necessarily. This just, if it's a weightlifting thing, then it's a power and strength thing, and it's something that is going to have to be managed.
412-928-9370. Here's Mr. Old School on the Steelers. Derek Harmon selection. Hey. Hello, Mr. Old School.
What's up, Mr. Old School?
My guys, what's going on? Hey, I like the pick. Right, here's the reason why. He was the most dominant tackle in the league last year, even more than Mason Graham. He would have been, if he wouldn't have that issue, he'd have been right up there with the rest of those guys. And I like Shador, but at the end of the day, we didn't need him right now. We needed somebody to stop us looking like a Pop Warner team against the running attack of the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, they do need a good quarterback right now.
Mr. Old School, I think they need a good quarterback, but I also would say I like the pick because they took a guy more seen, like widely regarded as a true first-round pick or close to it, because there's always like 10 or 15 in most drafts, versus reaching for a quarterback that some people think could slide to the third round still. Like, to me, that's the key there. You're taking a better positional value type of player, a guy who's closer to a true first rounder.
I don't know. I would quibble with the dominant part because he was third team all Big Ten. But I'm honestly really not in the mood to slam this pick.
Because you feel like that ground has already been trodden over.
Not just that, but like I told you at the tail end of yesterday's show, I was starting to get cold feet on Shedeur Sanders.
You didn't tell us why, though. You just said, like, you just didn't get a good, you had a worse feeling about it.
Yeah, and then the way the draft went told me that those reservations were justified because no team picked him, and he's still out there. And, you know, the success rate lately of second and third round quarterbacks is not very good. You know, Will Levis, I think, is the last guy to have this happen to him. He's already been replaced by Cam Ward 2 years later. So there's a little bit of that. And, you know, part of me, if I wanted to be kind of a jerk today and just like try to twist the knife and mess with people, would say that I would have taken Golden over Harmon, which I probably would have. And I feel like if the Steelers had done that in the last couple of drafts, they'd be in a better spot. If they had taken Jordan Addison over Broderick Jones, if they had taken Brian Thomas Jr. over Troy Fautanu, like I've said that repeatedly. Like I feel like they should have taken a wide receiver in the first round in one of these last two drafts. And I still sort of feel that way. But it's not like a strong, it's not a strong notion. Like I have not, this maybe this is the worst sports talk opinion of all time to have. I don't know. But I just didn't, it did not feel, like if I was going to come in here and rip this pick today, it would not have been natural. It would have just been me looking at you and saying, let me find ways to disagree with Chris.
You hate it when I do that to you, when it's clear that I just openly
admit to it. Let me just find something that you say that I want to say the opposite of.
See, my enthusiasm
because I'm fine with the pick.
My enthusiasm is genuine for the pick. Like, I'm not putting on any extra facade.
But you're not running around to the Rocky music like you did with Broderick Jones.
But I think it's, but I just, that's because I just, my overall feeling was this is the kind of pick that when they were on, not on autopilot, but when they actually were what they purport to be, which is a true upper echelon franchise, they made picks like this.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you think Derek Harmon will ever be an All-Pro?
I think he's going to get at least a second team All-Pro at some point in his career. I think there will be at least one second team All-Pro, so technically, yes.
See, I don't, but I think he can be a good player without that happening. How about you, Donnie?
I'll give him one. Yeah. I mean, how many years into Cam Hayward's career were we thinking, man, this guy is not bound for much?
Cam didn't have his first All-Pro. Cam didn't have his first All-Pro till what, like 7 or 8 years in the league at least? Cam Hayward has a ridiculous, like, reverse split of
until he was like 30. Benjamin Button, but I also don't.
His seventh year in the league, he was a first team
I don't feel comfortable, and some Steelers fans are doing this. I do not feel comfortable at all because of the height and weight of comparing these two players to each other whatsoever.
No, I don't like doing that either.
No,
I'm
comparing the idea of Cam Hayward off the jump did not look to us like somebody worthy of being picked in the first round.
This guy better look better than Hayward at first because he's going to play right away on
Cam. Now we're talking about Cam Hayward, borderline Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he'll be asked to do more than Cam was asked to do at the outset of his career.
He better be, and if he's not, that's not the same situation with Hayward where he was behind Kiesel and Smith. Like, this guy's behind Isaiah Loudermilk.
Pony, random question for you because I just feel like you might have talked to people who would have told you this or given you an inkling about this. If Mike Tomlin had locked the entire rest of the war room out of the room and made the pick himself, who would their pick be right now?
I want to say Sanders, but I don't feel 100% about that. Just based on what Rappaport said, like that's what made me think that way. And
a couple of YouTube comments, by the way, saying if really Tomlin was the voice for Sanders and everyone else outflanked him, then are saying glad to see that there are some checks and balances in a cohesive war.
No
room.
Doubt. I mean, something that is going to either be disproven at some point by other reporting that we trust more, or just based on how things unfold the rest of the way. There absolutely was a report, I think it was Dulac, who said the Steelers have a first-round grade on Sanders. So you give them credit for not taking him over Harmon, but people like you, Chris, who don't like Sanders at all, the fact that they would still grade him as a first-round player should scare you. That they didn't pull the trigger on drafting him, but when they analyzed him, they said this guy is good enough to be picked in the first round. So there might have been a scenario out there where they take him in the first round. If you believe that,
I'm not totally
like let's
sure
say Harmon. Let's say Harmon goes to Tampa Bay instead of Abuka. What happens then?
God, I hope they would have taken Abuka at that point.
Maybe
I would have been praying for that, and then flip George Pickens. See, well. I do wonder about when Jerry writes that they had a first round grade. I guess I am skeptical of that necessarily being the case. Is he getting that from like one person?
I think you have to be kind of skeptical because
If they really had a – here's where I zero out on this, even with the Steelers and knowing how they are with quarterbacks. If they actually had a first-round grade on Sanders, I think they would have taken him because he's a quarterback.
And
it's
apparently they had
position.
A first-round grade on Dart, too.
If they, I don't believe either of those then. I'm gonna plant my flag here and give a very firm opinion. I don't believe Jerry's reporting.
I don't either right now.
If any team had a first-round grade that needed a quarterback on two separate quarterbacks
and
did not
up those
take
guys
either
for
one
a defensive lineman
and did not take either one of them, they didn't have a first-round grade on that player.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider. Super sad news. It's been confirmed here at the radio station, Odyssey Pittsburgh, that Derek Harmon's mom passed away shortly after that visit last night. Jerry Dulac has also tweeted the news.
Yep, less than a minute ago. That incredibly sad. It just...
I'm trying to
reconcile having what would be professionally and in many ways personally like the biggest night of your life.
And it coincides with the worst day of your life,
the worst day. So like,
and we know how close they were. The ESPN ran a package on it last night. All the sacrifices Harmon made for his mom.
One instantly becomes one of the single easiest guys to root for, not just on this team, but
that's
in
what
pro
I said.
Sports.
I want this guy to
very easy to root for.
Be an all-time great. I think he's got a head start on being a Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner. So in that regard, he's definitely following in Cam Hayward's footsteps in more ways than one. All right, sucks to have to pass that along. Right now, on the hotline is a guy whose Steelers draft analyst does huge analysis, does huge numbers all over social media. We've nicknamed him Operation Shutdown because he's got the same name as a former pirate who quit the team and then went and lived on a boat for a number of years. And that's Derek Bell. If you follow the Steelers on social media platforms, you definitely know who this guy is. He's all over draft prep, both before the draft, leading up to it, and then obviously while the draft is going on, analyzing the players the Steelers take. Derek, if you were in Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin's shoes, would you have done the same exact thing last night and taken Derek Harmon?
I would, yeah. I mean, I know the conversation surrounding the quarterback is an interesting one, and you know, it's a void that the Steelers have to figure out how they're going to fill, whether that's going to be this year, next year, however. But Harmon, to me, was a super clean evaluation. He was higher for me on my personal big board, so that's the direction that I would have went. I had him ranked 22nd, so literally right on value with where the Steelers were picking.
Where did you have Sanders, just out of curiosity?
Sanders was at 34. So I had a mid second round grade on Shadur, and Harmon was one of the first or one of the top second round grades that I gave out.
Did you have Dart behind Sanders on your big board?
Significantly. yeah.
Give us the strengths and weaknesses of Derek Harmon when you watched his tape, Derek.
Yeah, I think the reason why I was so in alignment with their decision was just because I feel like Harmon is a really easily projectable player. Pretty easy evaluation, honestly. He's got a good frame, 34.5-inch arms, alignment versatility. He can play in a shaded nose all the way out to 5-tech. Good first step to shoot through gaps. He's got a nice club rip move that he uses. I think the value that the Steelers probably coveted the most was just in the run game. He's got very good upper body strength. He's got a quality anchor. He can collect blocks, split double teams. I think that his, you know, lock, peak, shed technique, block deconstruction skills was really as good or as clean as anybody on the interior in this class. He plays with the motor. I think that the Steelers typically covet along the defensive line. You guys talked about Cam Hayward. That's something that he's done here for several years now. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like, you know, with Harmon, the length, the, you know, hand usage, and just all the things that he's going to be able to do. And he's somebody that can contribute really from day one.
Derek, we always get people, and we kind of roll our eyes, who immediately try to comp the player to a current Steeler. And in this case, they go immediately and say, well, he just reminds me so much of Cam Hayward. You crunch a ton of film. You've got your own YouTube channel doing that. So give me, it doesn't even have to be a Steeler. Just give me a current NFL player that he does remind you of stylistically.
Yeah, I'm not a big comp guy, to be honest. I understand like why it's helpful for a lot of people. One of the comps I did see that I thought made a decent amount of sense was Daquan Jones. He's a guy who's played and had a lot of success throughout the league, has started for a really long time. I know a lot of fans kind of compare his length to Stephon Tuitt. There are some similarities between the two players. I wouldn't necessarily say it's one-to-one. Definitely wouldn't use the Cam Hayward comparison, though, just because I'm often extremely cautious about comparing guys to, you know, really franchise legends in Cam's case. But I do.
Oh, so you wouldn't have pulled a Lewis Riddick and said Ashton Jeanty was Emmitt Smith, but much better last night? Derek,
yeah,
you wouldn't have done
that? Okay. I'm going to let Luke cook with that one. I'll stay away from that comment.
Right.
That's one of the reasons why I don't like it.
what is the skill set or the part of his skill set, Harmon's skill set, that you think will most easily and directly, like we'll see this pop immediately, translate to NFL fields? It's NFL ready right now as opposed to being something that's going to have to be coached up or worked on at this level?
I just think it's the length, man. He's got really long arms. He's got heavy hands. I just think it gives him the ability to, you know, make first significant contact off the ball. The hand placement against the run is really good. And like I said, him being able to lock guys out with his length, peek in the backfield, you know, shed guys aside, I think he does a really good job keeping his eyes on the ball carrier through the block deconstruction phase. So, and I just think the motor, too. I mean, this guy is really disruptive. He gets up the field, gets in the backfield, causes chaos in that regard. So, like I said, I think he's a pretty easily translatable player to the next level, and I think he's got the potential to be a good pro.
Derek, before we let you run, if you had to advise the Steelers on taking a quarterback in this draft between now and the end of the draft, who would the player be and where would you take him?
It's kind of tough because they only have one pick right now at 83. You know, if Milrow was on the board around that time, I would definitely think about that. He's a guy who finished with a late second-round grade. I think there's a lot of potential there just with his arm, the way he can run the football. Definitely a project in other areas, especially in terms of accuracy. I anticipate the Steelers are probably going to be pretty interested in Will Howard in that third, fourth-round range. It really just depends on if they're able to acquire another day two pick at some point over the next, you know, 12 hours or so. But we'll see.
All right, Derek Bell. We call him Operation Shutdown here. Check him out on Twitter, on YouTube. Great film work on the Steelers and all their draft prospects, and they'll have the latest on all the guys they pick between now and Saturday night. Thank you, Derek. We'll talk again soon.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
There you go.